All right, we're going to start on Samachet. We'll continue with you from yesterday. Again, today's Gemara, just as a preface, is Agarita. Throughout the Gemara today, not simple Agarita. And you know, obviously the Marsha, the Maral, everybody gives their allegorical meanings to the Agarita. But I'll preface it with, we'll go through the Gemara, we'll read it. I don't have a lot to add in terms of the Gemara itself, but it is, I can say generally that, you know, it's hard to really understand what's going on in the Agadito here. And so we'll learn it and give a little of the interpretation along the way, but, you know, it's Gemara, we need to learn it, and then, I'm sure, please God, that Shemiya Erei Nenu, we'll be able to understand it better and plumb the depths of this Agadito. Right, so we're going to start on Samachet Amud Aleph by the pasuk from Kohelet. So it says, "Asitili Sharim Sharot." I made, you know, for myself, songs. V'tanugot b'nei Adam, the pleasures of man. Shida v'shidot, which is what the Gemara is going to spend time on. What is this shida v'shidot? So now the Gemara says, "Sharim Sharot." What is that? Sharim Sharot. Elu mine zemeh. These are types of song or instruments. Again, that there is either that there's singing, male and female singing, or this is male and female instruments. I mean, that certain instruments have a, you know, more male sound to them, and others have a more female sound to them. The tanugot b'nei Adam, what are the pleasures of man? Elu brechot u'merchatzeot. These are the pools and the bathhouses. Shida v'shidot. Now, this shad v'shidot, what is this shida v'shidot? Hachar targimo. This is the way to interpret it. Shida v'shiditin. Now, shida and shiditin come from the word shade, and these are shadim, right, demons. So this would be a male and female demon. So Marava Amre Shidita. Whereas in Eretz Yisrael, they interpreted it to be Shidita, which is the, what do you call it, the, like a carriage or a chariot, the carriage royalty. So now the Gemara is going to go and discuss the Shida v'Shidatin. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shlesh Me'ot Minei Shedim Hayu B'Shichin, the Sichin, this place of Sichin, right, it sounds like a...
What's the interpretation of the Lashon?
No, it's a different interpretation. Amar Shidata, which is a carriage or a chariot, versus Shida v'Shidatin.
Right,
large, small, male, female. There, just I don't know what the addition is. All right, Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara is truthfully not interested in the Marava interpretation. Okay, Rabbi Yochanan. Shlosh miyot minei shedim hayu b'sichin. This place sichin. There were 300 shedim there.
Sichin.
There's a place siach or siach has a pit. But it's a place called Sichin. V'shita atzma, any of them mahi. But this is Rabbi Yochanan saying that the shita atzma, I don't know what it is. So shita atzma, this question of what this shita is, Rashi says he doesn't know what it is. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what its characteristics are. And the Rashi brings an alternative explanation is that the rosh of the shedim, right? I don't know who it is, or I don't know who they are. And that Rabbi Yochanan, though despite knowledge of the place where all these shedim were, he still did not have a full comprehension of what the shedim do or who this leader of the shedim was. Amar Mar Hachi Targimu Shida V'Shiditin. Right, so now the Gemara is going back to this interpretation of the pasuk of Shida V'Shiditin. Shida V'Shiditin, the Mayi Boyle. What's their use? I mean, what do we need this Shida and Shiditin? Tichtiv. So here comes the story. It's going to be a story that continues basically through the entire daf now. It says, "Vavayit v'hi banoto evin shlema," that the base of Mikdash when it was built was made out of whole stone. Masa nivne, right? It was hewn right in a single shot. So now this is, if you remember, we had this machlokas in the Gemara and Sota about how the base of Mikdash was built. I mean, when the stone says the stones were not hewn stones, they were whole stones, does that mean that there was no metal used on them and they had to use the shamir? Or was it that they were not hewn inside the cities, right? Only out by the quarry, right? And this pasuk refers to the, possibly to the, or the psukim that talk about it refer to the palace of Shlomo HaMelech. But this is going to point to the opinion that they used the shamir to cut the stones. That's number one. And number two is, we'll see in a second, and Tosfos spends time on it proving, based on our Gemara, that the shamir was still present in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. And not only was it present in the first Beis HaMikdash, but it was also present in the second Beis HaMikdash. Samalu Rabbanan, Hechi Yadid, what should we do? So Amalei, Iker Shmira, right? Shmira, the Aiti Moshe Avnei Eifod. That there is the Shamir that Moshe used to cut the Avnei Eifod. And this is Tosfos in proof that the Avnei Eifod were around still in the second Beis HaMikdash. How do we know that? The Gemara in Kedushin, the famous story of Dama ben Nitzina. Right, Dama ben Nitzina didn't want to wake his father up when the Chachamim came to buy the Avnei Eifod. And then later on he had a Paraduma born to him a year later. But there Tosfos proves that because there was only one Paraduma during Bayit Rishon, so the fact that they needed a Paraduma proves there was already Bayit Sheni. It says that the Chachamim were buying Avnei Eifod. If they're buying Avnei Eifod and they had Avnei Eifod, they needed a Shamir to cut the Avnei Eifod. So that's just proof that there was a Shamir in the time of the second Bayit. Now, they needed this, so what did they do? Amalu Hechli Shtakach. So someone says, where do I find this Shamir? So I'm relaying, Aiti Shida V'Shidatin. Bring over a Shida and a Shidin, a male and a female shade. Kavshino Adadi, put them under a little pressure, a little interrogation. Actually, the Yad Umagulach. Maybe they know, and they'll let you know where to find the Shamir. So Aiti Shida V'Shidatin went ahead and did that, captured a shade and a Shida. In Kavshino Adadi, and then they put pressure on them, put bachats on them. Amre Anan Lo Yadina. They said, we don't know where it is. Dilma Ashmedai Malko Tishede Yoda. Maybe Ashmedai, the king of the Shedim, knows where it is. Samalu Hegna Ite, where is it? Samalai Ite Betura Pawang, he's in such and such a mountain. So now, let me describe what he does. Kari Liberia, he has.
Who's Shlomo talking to when he's saying Hegna Ite?
The Chachamim. Right, those are the Rabbanon who asked above, told them above. Alright, so Kari Le Biro, he dug for himself a pit or a bore. It sounds like a cistern almost. Maile Maya, he fills it with water, Umaxia, and then he covers it up in Tinoro, right, with a stone, a large stone each day, Bechat maybe Bushpanke, and he seals it with he closes it up with his seal or his ring, his signet. Every day he goes upstairs to Shamayim, and he learns Torah in the yeshiva up above, and up to the Aro, and then he comes back down and learns the Aro, and then he learns down below in the yeshiva down in the world. Just an indication, like Malachim and Shedim have, right, they belong to both worlds. They belong to the upper world and to the lower world. Sha'aiti, and when he comes back down, Sayerle the Gushpanke, Umigalile, so he goes ahead and he takes a look at his signet, he makes sure that nobody tampered with his seal. Then he opens it up, Bishati, and drinks. Then he covers it up, and then he seals it up again. So then one Gazel and goes off. So Shadre the Benayahu ben Yehoyada. So Benayahu ben Yehoyada was a gibor in the time of David. He was also a Talmid Chacham. Right, in the time of David and into the reign of Shlomo HaMelech, he was part of the Sanhedrin, according to the Gemara, other places, maybe even the head of the Sanhedrin. Right, so we say, call on Benayahu ben Yehoyada to go capture the Sashmadai. So Yoyev Le Shushalita, they gave him a chain, the Chakio Le Shem, that had the Shem Hashem engraved or imprinted on it. The Askutko, this is a ring, we'll see later on, belongs to Shlomo HaMelech, a ring, the Chakio Le Shem, that has the Shem Hashem also engraved on it. The Gavavei de Imra, give him some wool, right? Baziki the Chamra, and the flasks full of wine. So then Benayahu ben Yehoyada goes ahead. Azal Karabira Mitatai. He went and dug a hole or a pit underneath the cistern of Ashmedai. The Shafinu Lamaya. He drilled a hole up into the cistern or the bore of Ashmedai and drained the water out. He takes all the water out. This Satminu Begave. And then he seals that hole that he put in with the wool that he brought. Begave Dimra. And then he went ahead and dug an additional pit above the bore cistern of Ashmedai. Vishakino the Chamra, he took all the wine in the flasks and poured it into his new pit. Vitamino, and then he went ahead and opened a hole between his new wine pit and the water pit, and the wine went into the pit of Ashmedai. So he did all this so that Ashmedai would not be aware that he had tampered with his cistern. So he drained it from below and filled it from above. Then Vitamino, and he filled in both the two new borot that he had dug. Salik Yadibilana. He went and sat on a tree nearby. Kiato Sairi the Gushpanko. When Ashmedai showed up, he checked his seal on the thing. Kalya, and he opened it up, saw that it wasn't tampered with. He opened it up. Ashkecham, he sees that there's wine in there. Amar Tiv, he says, the Pasuk says, Mishle Leitz Hayayin Homer. Wine is for the lazy and the intoxication for those that cry out. Anybody who is regular with it will not be wise. Uchtiv znutvi yayin, right? Tzvi tzirosh yikach leiv. Znus yayin and tzirosh and new wines yikach leiv will still one's heart. So he says, Lovishti, I won't drink it because wine's not good for you. Just as an interesting note, Tosfos Levir points out that even though we're time and time of Shlomo HaMelech, and we're quoting Sukkim from Hosea, right, that nevertheless they were aware, as what Tosfos says, he mentions we have other places in Shas where the Gemara quotes Sukkim from the future. So I don't know, Tosfos' interpretation here is that the pasuk wasn't written, but they knew it. I think the other way, look at it, that necessarily the idea that is brought up in the pasuk is what they knew, not necessarily the literal pasuk, the chanim, quote the pasuk as a way to show it. You see this many times in the Ramban when he writes in a poetic lashon, he's using Sukkim as his basis for writing. So I'm saying the chanim, when they're writing, they use the Sukkim as a way to give over their literary message. Right? He said, lo ishtik yisaki, but he got very thirsty, but sagula, he couldn't listen to hold anymore. Each day he drank his rava, and then he went ahead and became intoxicated with donna. So he laid down after he was intoxicated, and after he had to. So Benel Ben Yodol came down from the tree, took the chains, rolled them up in the chains, and he sealed them up. When he woke up, he was trying to break out of the metal. He was trying to get out of the chains. Ben Yodol says, the name of your master is on you, because remember, he had chains with the Shem Hashem on them. So that holds him back. So Ben Yodol grabs his Shmadai, takes him back to Shlomo HaMelech. Right, so they passed a palm tree, Chakbe, he rubbed up against it, and Shadio knocked it down. Mata Lebeto, he rubbed up against a house, or he came past the house, and Shadio knocked it down. Mata gave him Kuba, so he came by the house, or a little, I don't know what you call it, hut, or a tent of a widow. Right, also, Napka, she went out and saw what he had done to the tree, and the house that he had passed before, she begged him not to deal with it. So Kafa the Kumte, he turned his body, the width, the breadth of his shoulders away from the house of the armalo of the widow. Right? He broke a bone by doing this. This is what it says in the pasuk, that a soft voice breaks a bone. And this widow who came out and pleaded with him caused him to break a bone. Again, the message here is clearly what the palm tree, the tall palm trees and the big houses that he knocked down. The widow, the little widow, and those that are shvelim, that he didn't knock down. He was willing to hurt himself in order to protect them. Again, the message that one is humble and keeps themselves low, right? They see the Chasde Hashem. Right now, Chazia Samuel, he saw a blind person that could tell you, but Orcha that was a little lost, going off his way, asking the Orcha, he put him back on his right way. Chazia Rabio, he saw a drunkard, David could tell you, but Orcha that was also having trouble staying on the road, asking the Orcha, he put him back on the road. Chazia Chedvoto, they saw past a wedding and they were dancing, to have a Chadilay, Chadilo, that there was some guy who was, they were very happy and there was a lot of excitement, Bokho, he cried. Shamiel Ahu Gabra, the Habakama Ushpachwa, saw one man who said to a shoemaker, Abadli Masana the Shape Shani, make me shoes that can last for 7 years. After he smiled, he laughed, he grinned. Right, Chaza Ahu Kisma, the Habakosim, he saw this magician that was a sorcerer, that was doing sorcery. After again, he laughed, he smiled, he grinned. Again, the Gemara is going to go back later on and discuss all these issues, why all this happens, alright? When they brought him to the palace, they didn't bring him into Shlomo HaMelech right away, for 3 days. Why didn't Shlomo HaMelech want me to go back? Why didn't he ask me to come in? He was drank a little too much last night, so he's not ready to see you. He took a brick, and he placed it on top of another brick. So, Atu Amrle Shlomo, they told Shlomo what Hashmadai had done. Amrle, Achi Amalochu, this is what he's telling me, Hadar as for you, have him drink more wine, either, I guess the point being that someone who's, who drank too much is feeling, not so good, drink a little more, maybe you'll feel better. Alright, Namacha Amalahu, next day he says, Amalahu Kabayli Malkala Gabe, why isn't Shalom Malkalmi? Amalahi Anse Mikla, he ate too much the night before. So Shakal Avinta Mechaverta, he took the bricks and separated them that he had there. Otva Aaron, and he placed it on the ground. Hatu Amar Leilu Shlomo, they told Shlomo what Hashem died on. Amlo Afi Amalchu Negidu Mimnei Mechlei, saying to you, withhold Ophel from me. Sof Plata Yomes, again, just a little bit here that you see Shlomo Melech, which the Gemara in Sanhedrin discusses in more detail, but the Shlomo Melech, through his reign, seemed to deteriorate. His spiritual connection to Hashem started to deteriorate over his reign. And here you see this. You see that even after the capture of Ashmedai, you see he's drinking, he's eating too much, maybe, that there is a deterioration. That's what they told us. Possibly, although we're going to see that Shlomo Malach does not fare so well here. So that's the problem over here. Right, that is correct. They brought him for him. Shokol Kanyo, he took a reed, a reed or a stick. Mashach Arbor Gamide, measured out four Gamide, which usually Amos Veshoda come in and threw it on the floor. Amalai Mikhlik, he might have Gabra when you Shlomo Melch die. Lastly, Badan Amalai Lagdilim Gamide, you only have the four Amos, meaning that you have your four Amos that you're buried in, that's all you have in this world. Hashmik of Shinto Lukuliyama, and now you've conquered the whole world, right? That's the Gemara Megillah that says that Shlomo Melch conquered, right, the entire world. You weren't satisfied until you captured me. I mean, you couldn't leave me alone. You got the whole world. What do you need me for? He says, I don't need anything from you. I didn't capture you for my own purposes. Because I need to build the base of Mikdash. I need the Shamir, and that's why I captured you. He says, I don't have it. The Sara the Yama Masuli, the Prince of the Seas has it, not me. Below Yagule, Elatana Goldabara, and he only hands it over to a wild chicken, a wild hen, Demhemin Lay Ashvuate, who takes his Shavua that he'll return it. So what are these chickens do with it, or what do these wild chickens do with it? They take it to mountains that have no settlement on them. They have nothing there, nothing growing on them. They place it on either the bedrock or the peak of such a mountain. And it splits the mountain, because that's what the Shamir does, right? It eats into the rock. It's able to cut very hard things. And then they go ahead and collect. They take seeds from the trees. They throw them into the crack. And then there it grows. You know, stuff will grow in the future because he cracked open the bedrock. And therefore, stuff grows, and he'll be able to eat there. He'll be able to. The people will be able to settle in those areas. So that's behind him. It's my gemino. In the Torah, when it says when it's bringing down the birds of the Torah, it calls one of the birds, the Dukhifa, it calls it a Nagar Tura. Nagar Tura is the carpenter of the mountains, right? The one who. So the Gemara says it seems that this is a veiled reference to our Agadah over here. Right, that's just a sidebar. Okay. So Badku Kina did a Karnagola Bara. So Shlomo sent out his servants, and they found a wild hen or wild chicken, the Islay B'nai, that had children. The Chiyula Kine Zubita, so they put a big here, they put a piece of glass, clear glass, between the chicken and its kids. So the chicken could see it, but he couldn't get through to his kids. So he was fudging. So he couldn't get in. So Azel, so what is he going to do? Obviously, he needs the Shamir to cut through the glass. So Azel, I teach him a Shamir. He went and got the Shamir from the Saradiyama. But Otsbeyale, and he used it to cut through the glass. Rama Bekola, the servants of Shlomo saw him when he did this, and they screamed, you know, they scared away the chicken. Shadi, and they took the Shamir. Shakwe, and they took it. Azel, Chanuk Nafshe, and this chicken choked himself, I don't know, committed suicide. Ashvuate, because he couldn't fulfill his Shavua to return it to the Saradiyama. Samalei Ben Ayahu. So now, this is the Gemara going back to Ashmedai. So this is how Shlomo Melech got the Shamir to build the base of Mikdash. Right, that's the story here. Now we're going to go back, like a flashback here. Come back, Benayahu is going to ask Ashmedai why he did all these things. I'm like, Benayahu, my time, he's chazek to the Ha'u Samyo. When you saw this blind person, that he was lost on the way, you put him back on the right track. I'm like, Mikhrizei Alei Berikia. There was an announcement up in Shemayim, the Tzadik Gomahur. This guy was a full Tzadik. Whoever does something good for him will be zoche to olam haba. So basically, the point here is that someone is a tzaddik, even the you know, the derelicts or the sadim that are El Shamayim will be in his service. I mean, somebody's a tzaddik, even Hashem, even those that are not normally helpful to people will be helpful to such a tzaddik. My time, if you had the high rabbi, when he saw the drunkard, the kadoy orcha, that he was not going, he was off his path, a secret orcha, he put him back on the right path. Amalei matzreli berkia, they announced about him in Shemayim, the rasha gomorhu, that he was a complete rasha. Babylei nechad, the nafshe gecha lechlei the alma, can do something good for him so that he'll eat up his olam hazeh. And again, that he'll use up his olam hazeh so that he will have no olam haba. My time, if you had the high rabbi, what the book, why did you cry when you saw the celebration, the wedding celebration? The husband of this young bride is going to pass away in 30 days. And she's going to have to wait for a katan, a yavam katan, to grow up for 13 years. There was a young, he had a young brother, who is not ro'ui to do chalitza or yibum because he's a katan. He has to wait until she's of age. Basically, she's going to have to wait 13 years until he reaches an age where she can perform yibum and chalitza. So he was... My time, Kishimata Ahu Gabra, Damale Yushpapa, Avigli Misane, Shev Shanin Achichot, that he said to make shoes for me for 7 years. You laughed, or you smiled, grinned. Amalei Ahu Shiva Yomi Leslei, Misane Lushav Shinin Boy. This guy, I don't, either he's saying it may not live or won't live. I'm not sure he is. This guy, either he won't live more than, he's not going to live more than 7 days, he's asking for shoes for 7 years, or, meaning that a person doesn't even know if he'll live for 7 days, right? So, what is he worried about shoes for 7 years? I mean, it just, he seemed excessive for a person that doesn't know, people don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, he's asking for shoes to last for 7 years. So my topic is because I feel I kiss my David Kostin when you saw the sorcerer that was performing sorcery. I think that you laughed. This is a funny story. I'm like, how are you at the Gaza the Malko? He was sitting over the storehouses of the king. I mean, the storehouses of the I don't know, the safes or the storehouses of the king were right under the sorcerer. Lixo Maida Ikatute. Right? Why is he's trying to be, the sorcerer is trying to, you know, divine something that, what is there or what's around or not, he doesn't know. Here he is trying to divine, and under him is the whole, all the gold and silver of the king. He was obviously missing the mark. Right, so now, Tarkei Kavei Ad B'nai the Basin Migdash. Now back to our story. That the story that Shlomo HaMelech kept Hashmadai with him until the Beis HaMikdash was built. At one point, Shlomo HaMelech was alone with Hashmadai after they built the Mikdash. Shlomo HaMelech says, it says in the Pasuk, Ki To'afot Re'im Lo, right, To'afot, those that are at high, Re'im, and those that are of high stature, Lo, belong to Hashem. And we interpret go to afod elu malachim asherit, those that fly above or way above, those are the malachim reim, those that are stronger or high up elu ashidim, these are the shidim. So he says, Shlomo HaMelech says to Hashmadai, my rabu taiku minan, what makes you greater than us? And what makes you shidim better than us human beings? Amalei shoko shlita, I don't know why Shlomo HaMelech calls for this, but anyway, it says, take off my chains. I can't show you how good we are until you take off the chain that is holding me right now. So minai, zahavli iskata. Right. So, and give me your ring, you know, the ring that has the Shem Hashem kalkul on it, give it to me. He says, Rubitai, I'll show you how good we are once you take that off. So Shakla the Shushalita, Shlomo HaMelech picks up the chains, Minei Vayavla Yiskatein gave him the ring. Bale, or Bala the Shlomo is the alternative girsi here. This Ashmedai swallows Shlomo HaMelech. Puts either one side or one wing of his, I don't know, one leg of his in the Shamayim, one leg down below, one wing below. Patke, he spit him out. Arba mea parsa, and shot him out 400 parsos. Again, Mar, whatever he uses, 400 is a large number, a number of guzma. On that moment, Shlomo HaMelech says, you know, what's the worth of all the work a person does his whole life? Here, Shlomo HaMelech was the king, and now he's thrown away into Never Never Land. This is my portion after all my work and all my hard work and building. This is all I had left. What is bezeh? My bezeh. Rabbi Shmuel argued. Chadamar maklo. All he had left was his staff. Chadamar gundo. They only had left gundo. Rashi brings down the interpretation of gundo, which is think he is Lubushok, that his clothing that he had left, his garments he had left, and the Rashi brings an alternative pshat that he had a Mekita Shalcheres, that he had a earthenware vessel that he drank water from. That was his, he had a little bucket for water. So he was left with nothing. Basically, Shlomo Melech is stripped of all of his trappings, except either for his staff, his cloak, some small reminder of his being the king. But basically, he is far gone from being the king. So he comes back to the you know, the city where he comes back to Yerushalayim. He's going around knocking the doors, going to the map, everywhere he goes, it says, "Ani kohelet hayiti melech leYisrael biYerushalayim." I used to be Shlomo Melech. I used to be the king of Yerushalayim, Israel, and Yerushalayim. When someone is not of sound mind, someone is crazy, he does never vacillates simply on one item. He goes from thing to thing to thing. He says silliness for everything. This guy only makes one ludicrous comment or one outlandish comment, which is that he was the king of Yerushalayim. That's Mike High. What's going on here? Sounds like there might be some truth to what he's saying. They said that Ben Yada has the king by bin by you recently. Says no. They sent over to the queens or the queen or the queens. They said, "Has the king been with you recently?" So say Shakulayin. He said, "Yes, he has been by us recently." So Kate. He has been by us. Shakulu Bitku Bikare. Check out his feet. Right, why do we know that? We know that from other places in Shas that the feet of the Shadim are the shape of a chicken feet. They're chicken feet, not human feet. That's one distinguishing feature of a Shade versus a human feet. So Shafalu Bimoki Gate. Rashi says that he came in his slippers. Right? He comes to us in his slippers, we can't tell. It's something strange. When he comes to engage with us, he is in slippers. His feet are covered, so we can't tell. And he also asks us to be with him while we are in Nidot. And not only that, he's inquiring to be together with his mother, Batsheva. So all these are very strange behavior. It's at Yul Shlomo. Right, they called in Shlomo Melech. They're easily realizing that there was an imposter in the palace. They gave him back. They gave him the chain that had the Shem Hashem on him and the ring that has the Shem Hashem. He waited in his the throne chamber or the chamber, his own chamber. So Ki'ayo, when Ashpatai came in, he saw the chains and the ring, and he runs away. Shlomo Melech was afraid of him for the rest of his life. That Shlomo had 60 strong men around his bed at night, holding swords, knowledgeable in war, each with a sword at his loins, in the fear of the knights. But the pakat here, the Gemara is saying, is the pakat of Ashmedai, and so Melech remained fearful of him the rest of his life. Now, the Gemara interjects here with the machlokas of Rabban Shmuel, which you see is more explicit in other places, in Gemara Megillah, and the Gemara Sanhedrin has a story. Rabban Shmuel, Chadamar Melech Behedjot, one says that Shlomo Melech was a king, and then he became a layman, and that was the end of his life. He ended his life as a layman. Chadamar, this is our Gemara, sounds more like this, that he was Melech Behedjot Melech. He was a king, he became a layman, and then he did tshuva at the end of his life, and he returned to be the king again, which sounds like our story over here. So again, this is the ending of the Gadito of Shlomo Melech with regards to the getting the Shamir. So number one, this is the story of how Shlomo Melech got the Shamir. So that's number one. I would just say that shows the wisdom of Shlomo, and also the Gemara Megillah says that he ruled over, the Gemara said that he not only ruled over humankind, but he also ruled over the Shadim and the Shadot. And as you see over here, Shlomo Melech was able to engage the Shadim in order to get what he needed, that he needed to get the Shamir. He captures Ashmedai, he captures the Shamir, the Shadim, the Shadim, the Chinatin, and then he later captures the Shamir from the Shar of the Yama. So that's one thing. The thing is that you see that Shlomo Melech, right, again with Gemara Megillah and other places discussing that Shlomo Melech over his kingdom, and even the Navi himself, the Navi says that as Shlomo aged that he did not follow the ways of Hashem. There the Gemara again discusses whether that's to be taken literally, or that it was his wives that did not go in the way of Hashem. But anyway, that Shlomo slowly fell away from Hashem, that's what the Navi says. And his falling away from Hashem lost him the Malkut, meaning that the Malkut is a privilege given to Hashem, and the king is only the king as long as he is servicing both the people and Hashem. The king is both a servant of Hashem and the ruler over the people. If he's no longer that bridge between Hashem and the people, then his kingdom is not necessarily valuable. And that's what the whole Shmuel talks about in the beginning of, in the middle of Shmuel Aleph, when the people ask for a king. Shmuel's upset that they're asking for a king, because they have a king. They have a king that is Hashem. Right, so who does it? If you're going to have a human king, right, there's the fear of the loss that this human king will become, quote-unquote, the king, and not Hashem. And that's the fear, and we see this throughout Melachim, right, throughout the Sefer Melachim, that the problem is that the king is the king, and he's not servicing Hashem. And that the only person, or the right person who's right to be the king is David HaMelech. Why is David HaMelech the one who has the right to be the king? Because at the end of his life, we had the famous story of Rayom David El-Gat, where David counts the people, and then he's punished. Right, by Hashem, by he gives them, they give him three options what he's going to do, and he picks the plague. He says, "We're going to do God's will, not the will of Hashem." That statement of David HaMelech shows that who is the right person to be the king? David. Why? Because what does he say? Despite being the king, he says, "Not the will of Hashem. Let me fall into the hands of Hashem." So David had that proper balance between being a king and able to rule over the people and to guide the people and strong and be able to lead them. Also had that side to him that he knew that when something was wrong, when something. He was always nifl b'yad Hashem. He always fell into the hands of Hashem. So Shlomo HaMelech, in the beginning of his reign, starts out like that, but over his reign, starts to lose that, and we see that with his children and with the Davidic line afterwards, that they start to fall away from Hashem, and that they are not, right, necessarily rule the people, but they don't necessarily give the people that proper, spirit vehicle or spiritual connection to Hashem. And you see, as Shlomo loses it, he also loses his kingdom in that sense. So, I think that's a broad interpretation of the Agadah. I'm sure there's much deeper understandings of it. Just wanted to mention it here. Now, next, the Gemara now goes back to the cures or medicinal issues that it discussed yesterday. I'll point out here that there are generally three approaches to dealing with these issues. One approach, which is championed by others in, not here necessarily, but in other places, is that whatever the Chachamim say is Torah Sinai, that applies to every tchum, any area that they do with, that's Das Torah, and that whatever they deal with is something that they are giving over, and that they know Torah Sinai, that they're knowledgeable in areas outside of the tchum, direct tchum of Torah. That's championed by, in other places, by people like the Maharal, who says, for instance, and by Ner Chanukah, when the those that wanted to change the Zman of Ner Chanukah, the Maharal says that we can't change whatever the Chachamim established, right, that is fixed. He says that there, he says it also by Mayim Achronim. The Tosfos suggests that today Mayim Achronim doesn't apply. The Maharal also strongly over there disagrees and says no, that there are meanings of Chachamim imbued in these items, and we can't walk away from them, and we can't say that they were just, knowledge at the time, and so on and so forth. For others, not the Maharal, others that champion this cause, that the Das Chachamim is solid, and that's, you know, whatever we read here, that's the way it works. There are others who have middle grounds. There are other middle grounds, which are people like Tosfos in other places suggest, for instance, by Mayim Achronim, and by the Mei Perat in other places, Tosfos suggest that Nishtanua Tivin, also by Gazayas, all these ideas that the Teva has changed. That, I mean, that what was true in their day maybe not be true in our day, and Nishtanua Tivin, that's one possibility of a middle ground. The other middle ground is that the Gemaras here are allegorical, that they should not be taken literally, but they should be taken for their allegorical meaning, and not necessarily for, these aren't medical cures. These are ways to have people focus on meanings beyond the depth or depths that are beyond the literal meanings. Those are the middle ground. The other tzad, which is the opposite of that Torah, which I mentioned yesterday, is Rav Avraham ben Rambam, and he mentions this too in the introduction to the Ein Yaakov, and he says this about his father as well, that the Chachamim, their knowledge of medicine was only as good as the knowledge of the time. I mean, that when it comes to Torah and Halacha, that their knowledge is Torah Mishnah, that we can't question, that we can't ask anything about. When it comes to medical issues and things that were simply knowledge of the science of their times, or equivalent to that knowledge of their times, and those areas, right, they gave what they knew. They had nothing wrong with what they did. They gave as best as they knew. They were knowledgeable in these areas. But that doesn't mean it's going to stand the test of time, necessarily. Though, and that's, you've seen the Rambam. The Rambam in many places gives alternative medicines or medical solutions to the problems that the Gemara sends over here, even though later on the Rambam stuff is found to be also not efficacious. But you see that there, that's the extreme. So you have this, again, a stream of opinions that go from one side, which is the Chachamim are right no matter what, the Chachamim are right only as good as the knowledge of the time, and then there are middle grounds, I guess, that bridge those two positions. I'm just pointing it out because we're about to go through a bunch of medical issues. We'll do one or two now, and tomorrow we'll continue with them. Now, the Dhamma Dereshya, someone for blood of the head, whatever that means. Leite Shervina, he should bring some Shervina, which Rashi says is a type of cedar, it's just a boxwood. Ubina, right, which is a arava, which is a willow, which is in time for Sukkot. The Asa, Asa is Hadas, so you have an arava and a Hadas here, right? Dara, I'm sorry, Asa Dara, that a fresh willow. Zeta is easy as an olive. The chilfa, Rashi says it's tzatzava, and he calls it the poplar tree. The chilfe de yamo, and the chilfe of the yam, Rashi says over here it's gripla or naglik. I saw some, the English translation was of cloves. Right, the yivla. Yivla is a type of, Rashi over here says min asif, type of grass or some type of herb. You boil them all together, or you sear them all together. The ratio, you pour 300 cups of this stuff on his right one side of his head, 300 cups on the other side of his head. This doesn't work. Bring a white rose. The kind of chadara that has leaves that only grow, this Rashi says, chadara, they only grow, leaves that only grow on one side. Right? See, Rashi's interpretation of varda is a rosa, right? That only has leaves that grow up one side of it. It's again by Sukkot, right? This is by one of the Mishnah's Mitzulim of a Hadassim, right? So it's the lishkalei, right? Again, you should cook it up, right? Or sear it. The lintel, shittin kase, a hagisa, the ratio of shittin kase, a hagisa, 60 on each side of the hay is the ratio. The tzlichata. So for tzlichata, which Rashi says is ke'ev chatzi harosh, half a headache. Leite tarnagota bara, you bring a wild tarnagol. Lishchate zuza chiyura, and you shaft it with a white coin. Some white coin over here means silver, right, as opposed to yellow coins, which would be gold. Oh, gisa the kayvla, you shaft the animal on the side of his head, right, that is hurting. Nizdarmi demei, be careful of the blood squirting out, that it won't blind him. Because if it gets in your eyes, it'll blind you. So keep your eyes close, you know, while you're doing this. Little lady, safe with the bubba. Then after you finish shechting, hang it on the doorway. Chayel chayfe, because when he walks in, he'll rub up against it. Kinafik chayfe, and he goes out, he'll rub up against it, and guess this will help his head. Okay, the bukate, again, for something. This actually says it's a koli shiba ayin. It's a sickness of the eyes. Here he calls it a tila, which is actually one of the mumim that I mentioned in Bechoros. Tila over there, the interpretation was cataracts. Right, leite akrava deshav chumre, bring a scorpion that is seven, Rashi says spotted with seven colors, right, because it's so old, meaning that it has all these different colors on it. Yapshe bitula, and then dry it out in the shade, v'nishchok, and then you should grind it up. Tarte manta kuchla, mechada manta mine. You put two portions of kuchla, which is eye ointment that the Gemara mentions in Shabbos. Mechada manta mine, and one portion of this ground up scorpion. The limle tlata mikuchle, and then you should place on his eye three rubbings of this. Behayena, mitvatim kuchle behayena, and another three in the other eye. Shvelo limlo, you shouldn't put on more than that. The low paka ene. Otherwise his eyes will pop out and it'll be too much. Alright, I think we'll stop over here. We'll continue tomorrow with more of these medicinal interpretations that the Gemara has over here.